Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Welcome, please, Hooverers. This one's a brilliant episode. I'm talking to a woke, lovely influencer, personal trainer, and host of the excellent adulting podcast, Anoni. We both talk lightning fast, so sorry about that. But in great news, it means we get shitloads of topics covered, from the pros and cons of body positivity through to the highs and lows of pick and mix. Before we get into it, just a heads up, there are loads of brilliant live hooverings that I would love to see you at. Also, I'm previewing my new stand-up show, Hench, all over the country, in case you're about. The next ones of both, actually, I really want you at, are the last weekend of March in Glasgow. 29th, I'm doing a preview, and 30th, there's a hoovering live, part of the amazing Glasgow International Comedy Festival. But there are loads of them, and for the live hooverings, see the podcast notes on this episode's Acast page, and for live hooverings and a list of all my gigs and previews, go to my website, jessicafostercue.com. Also, if you'd like discount tickets to some of those live hooverings, check out patreon.co.uk/thehooveringpod. It's where, in exchange for some very cool rewards that are getting cooler all the time, like extra content and guest recipes and stuff like that, you swap in a few bucks a month, whatever you can afford, the more things you get, per the upper, the higher bucks. But I do catch-ups on there that I don't do anywhere else, little videos and stuff like that. I would be so grateful if you've got any spare money if you would become one of my patrons. And if you are one of my patrons, a special, great, big, juicy thank you to you. So to the podcast. Anoni and me are having some lunch that I scrambled together at my place.
It's a corn fillet burger because they've started doing vegan stuff, so I thought we'd try one.
Amazing.
And then this salad is a wintry salad, which is not very salady weather, it's February. But fuck it, it's all winter stuff in it. And I first had it, my friend Sam made it on a boxing, like a Boxing Day party. Mm. So we always call it Boxing Day salad.
It's an Ottolenghi one, isn't it?
It is an Ottolenghi one. Could you tell just from...
Yeah.
Oh no, I sent you a link to it. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
So,
I was about to like, his like chef's voice is so clear that like you can tell it's not a Ottolenghi just from the ingredients.
Yeah, but it does, colours. You can tell because they do have like 100 ingredients.
Yeah,
but I always get the recipe up and I think I'm going to make that and then I just end up making it, but like 10% of the stuff in it, so it's actually not that at all.
Yeah. He's got a new book out called Simple, because he's kind of taking the piss out of himself for exactly that. And in the introduction, it is, he's like, he laughs at himself for how complicated his recipes are.
It is so good, though. I'm excited about this Tabasco as well.
Lovely Tabasco have sent me some presents, because they've got 150... I think they might be 150 years old. Yes!
Really?
So they brought out a special edition for 150 years. In a gold box.
That's really posh.
I know, I'm excited.
Mild Tabasco, that's interesting.
I know. And you sort of think, well...
It defeats the points, isn't it?
Is it? But I think I've had it by accident before.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's a green one, and it's nice.
I do love Tabasco.
I love that chipotle. I'm not sure if I'm ever saying it right. I like smoked anything.
Yeah, agreed.
But I think I really like the mild one, because you can really taste the pepper.
Oh, and you get more flavour.
I think
I haven't had Tabasco for a while. I used to have it on my eggs in the morning quite a lot, which is really good.
Swapped it out for sriracha.
Why do I have that? How did you know? What happened?
It's just fashion.
Was it a cultural shift?
Yes, it was.
Because I go through a lot of sriracha with my boyfriend as well.
I think it's got more sugar and it's got garlic in as well, so
yeah.
It's delicious.
And also, you acclimatise, don't you? Because I remember the first time I had it, I thought, oh, that is like a bottle of champagne.
They've made it look like a bottle of champagne for 150 years.
Bad.
Oh, we've got to take a little pic of that. Sorry.
Great. No, don't worry. Oh, yeah, I was just thinking you acclimatised to it. So I remember the first time I had sriracha, I thought it was really spicy, and now you can kind of have half the bottle.
Just drink it.
It doesn't doubt the size. It's really good.
Okay, so the salad in it is celeriac, red onion, apples, and then some chilli and some quinoa. And
amazing.
Some coriander and some poppy seeds.
I'm so excited.
I hope it's nice.
I am starving, but I have eaten quite a lot, but I stupidly had my breakfast really early. And I should never do that.
Hard, yeah.
Because then I want lunch at like 10.
Oh, tell me about it. But also, I talk about it a lot on this podcast, but I'm so bad at starting a podcast, and then when it gets to the eating bit, just... either throwing it in or being like, actually, can we just pause it for a minute, because that turns out I'm really hungry now. Started eating, so
that always happens though. Do you ever have a day where you're so busy you don't get a minute to eat, and you think, god, I'm not even hungry, and then you start eating and you're like, fuck, I was absolutely starving.
Oh, I wonder why I was being such a prick.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
It's the root of all my awfulness is hunger.
Yeah.
This is good.
It's okay, right? It's so tangy.
And if you mix the chicken, what's it called? A fillet. What are they called, this corn thing?
Corn chicken. Corn breaded fillets.
If you mix it with the salad, you know, I don't think I wouldn't know it was chicken. Because when you buy a chicken nuggety looking thing anyway,
yeah,
that's not
good.
Chicken anyway, is it?
Nope.
Fake chicken.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I've got a friend who calls their nuggets nugs. Just a little nugs. Very
little
affectionate. Nug. Taking a picture of the inside of this fillet.
I actually think that's a good job on that.
They've done all right.
What is corn when it's at home normally?
Oh, I really don't know. Actually, I was reading it. It's got a fancy name, what's in this.
Is it not soy?
It's quite nice. So, it's called misoprotein, which has got a little TM next to it. So it's obviously like some brand of fake chicken.
Okay.
56%. That is most of what it is. So unless they're going to tell us what a misoprotein is. It's obviously just a genetically engineered plant protein.
Because I remember eating corn when I was little, though, and it wasn't that great, was it?
No.
Do you remember corn mince from, like, years ago?
So rough, all grey.
Yeah.
And, like, dissolved.
Yeah, I tried that for a bit, and that wasn't great.
I think they've really upped their game. It's got sage and sage extract. They didn't trust sage alone. Paprika extract. Just it, paprika in corn. You're making life very hard for yourself. Yeah, no, I'm quite impressed with that.
I am impressed as well, that's great.
Just in case people don't know, but could you say what it is you do and stuff?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I am, well, I hate this. Technically, what I would do, if you looked at my page, it looks like I'm an influencer, which is what the word is.
Yeah. Well, you are if you are.
Yeah, but I hate it. But what I've realised is...
Why do people hate it so much?
Because it connotates, it implies that you sell people diet shakes,
right,
and
yeah.
Are like a Kardashian-esque wannabe.
Or that you're negative in what you influence.
Yeah,
or...
but then I realised actually having influence is quite cool, and if you can influence people to be nice or whatever, then that's fine. But it's just the word in of itself. If you say that to someone, they just look at you and think you're a dick.
Yeah, fine.
And that you sell out and sell loads of stuff. So there's that. And then I'm qualified PT, which I do, which happened kind of after I started my Instagram, so I thought I need to be qualified to talk about fitness. And it's kind of gone the other way, and now I've got a podcast which is more about like socio-political stuff, which is what I'm interested in, because my degree was like English Lit.
Okay.
So I went back to front in everything I did. I kind of did something that was, I went from being like a a smoker, the one out all the time, was hated exercise at school.
Yeah. And then did you hate PE?
Oh my god, I hated it.
Did you?
I went to a really sporty school and never went. I used to run away and smoke all the time. I did recreational trampolining. Used to drink a cup of tea with this teacher who's really sweet, but she was really fat, and it was just me that used to turn up. So we used to just drink tea. And that's all I did. I never did any sport, and it was literally the sportiest school in the world.
I did both. There was a geology teacher who used to let us smoke in his shed.
Oh, amazing.
It was just, they were the best. There was just four wrong'uns at a time allowed in his shed, chain smoking rollies at break times. You weren't allowed until you're in a sick form, but then you could tuck in. But what his shed was really useful was the model train that went round the edge of the school. So it would be dweebs that were interested in building a model train.
It's quite a small cross-section of people then.
Yeah. And not necessarily like the most natural social bedfellows.
That's bad though.
But also I really like PE, but never just exercise for sake of exercise. I hated that.
Yeah.
It had to be a sport or something fun.
See, I think because my school was so sporty and I was too shy to apply myself, I then was like, oh, I'm shit. And it was so competitive that it lost, there wasn't any fun in it.
Yeah,
Now I'm really upset because I would love to be playing sport.
Mm.
I do sometimes go to netball with some of my girls from school, funny enough, who do, but it's really far away. Mm. So I'm going to set up another netball team because that's so fun now you're older.
So fun, and we're taller.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm that much taller. But it is really good fun. I just think sport's great for you, but I think I did it with one of my friends, Jazz, who's like an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
She is an Olympic athlete. We did a podcast about how women only really get into sport or exercising when it's to do with fat loss. Whereas guys all the time are like, let's go kick a ball around. Or like,
yeah,
all of their fun is surrounded usually with exercise.
Yeah.
And women isn't, and it's really sad.
It's really sad, isn't it?
And it starts at school from a very young age.
God, I used to love sports in teams and stuff. Mm. And tennis. I was really sporty, but I think back sometimes now and think I always took on quite low state. I always had the low status like part. Like in netball, I was wing defence, and in football, I was a right back. Mm. Like I made sure there's never too much pressure on me. At hockey, I was in goal. I mean, that is fun, seriously though. Like you barely move and you're just covered in padding.
But that's so fun. It's sports, such an important thing, I think, for like learning how to be in teams and stuff. I think that's funny enough. That's why I got into the gym though, because there was no one. I didn't know if I was shit because I'm the only one doing it, which is what I loved about weight training, because I was like, you don't know, there's no one there it like to compare to.
Yeah.
And I loved that, but now I'm going the other way. Now I can actually, I'm actually fitter. I'm like, sport would be fun.
Yeah, it's true. I remember being very unfit 13-year-old and going skiing for the first time and really hating it. Hating the competitive element of it as well, but liking the après-ski, so going again and again. I went once when I was 16, I was a bit fitter and loved it, but also it was just Canada and I think it was nicer. So the PT side of things, well, everything that you do, I suppose I ask to everyone, how does what you do for a job affect how you eat? But actually, I'm so used to talking to comedians who then just tell me about the types of pasties they have to make do with in the middle of the night. But for you, I imagine there's an inordinate amount of pressure to appear to be the perfect mixture of caring and not caring.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. But
I feel a similar pressure.
I would also say that I've gone the other way. So I came from really, I say disordered eating, and I was like, I never had an eating disorder, but realistically, I used to make myself sick after every lunch break. So that probably is an eating disorder, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
I was like,
no, it never happened. But that's because I think all of my girlfriends, we all did it, and no one was worried about it. Like, you could tell someone in the middle of the day and they'd be like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Like, no one cared. And I used to binge eat, and I was so unaware of, like...
Do your parents ever knew?
No, my mum did know. She told me off once because she used to be like, you're making yourself sick. But she also didn't know what to...
Yeah.
Also, I never lost weight, so it was never worrying because I was still quite chubby. So I think because it didn't work, I think had like very skin.
Isn't it? They were like, well, she's lost her teeth, but at least she's not too
she's
skinny.
Not, that's the problem. That's the thing. So I think because it wasn't visibly showing, they were like, well, she's not doing any harm, is she? I'm still really young, but when my age group, I don't think anyone was that fussed about the mental aspect of an eating disorder, the fact that's quite worrying.
Mm.
It was more like, well, you haven't reached your goal yet, so
whatever you need to do.
But I would watch an advert for Ribena, and they'd be like, Ribena's really healthy, so I'd eat two packets of Ribena. Oh. Do you know what I mean? Because you think, you read something's healthy, and it's just so misguided, so that took me ages. And then I did went to uni, had a really horrible boyfriend, it's a bit abusive, and then I got a personal trainer because I was like, new year, new me, gonna do, I don't know, change myself up. Then got really into training. Cool. But when you first get into it, and I had a personal trainer who was like a transformation coach who put me on like no food.
I heard you talk about this in your podcast.
Yeah, so I just got so lean. I was like, this is amazing. I'm so into fitness, and that's when my Instagram started. And the minute I stopped with him, I just put it on again because I was eating nothing.
Yeah.
And that's when my whole journey with food started, and I went to extremes. And then now I have such a good relationship with food.
Brilliant.
But you can't, I can't talk about it on Instagram, because if I post a salad, I'm promoting eating disorders. If I post cake, I'm being irresponsible. So I just, it's very hard to talk about food.
It's fascinating.
I used to talk about food so much, but now you don't know who's reading it, and you don't know what they're going to take from it, and
whether they might copy it, or whether they might think, right, if that's, then I can do less than that, or whatever, or something worse and worse and worse. I've similarly become way more aware than I ever thought. I think when I started this podcast, I was like, I love eating, and I want to start a podcast that celebrates that, because I think everybody's got such fun stories and fascinating opinions when it comes to it. It's something people are so passionate about, and how and conjures such great memories. But now, you know, a year in, I think that comes with an enormous responsibility in terms of output. There's so much noise when it comes to how people should eat on social media that I feel kind of, I feel bombarded, and I hardly follow anyone. Well, you know, I follow people I find interesting. I don't necessarily follow people I agree with. I don't know. At one point I thought, maybe I won't post pictures of stuff I'm making for the podcast. Maybe I'll just put like their finished plates
to show that. Yeah.
And I do that sometimes as well. But then I was like, well, people are really interested in what it tastes like and stuff. And I think to some extent, I've just got to trust people to know that I'm just, it's all just from a place of the joy in eating and the love of eating.
Yeah, your premise of your podcast is different though, so it's fine because you're not being instructive. It's
I'm not, and it's not even necessarily pro-healthy.
Yeah, it's just food in general. But where it gets difficult is when you get people who are, you know, saying that they're nutritionists or whatever. And they're not, so that's another thing. I'm not a nutritionist qualified. So when you start talking about food, it's normally anecdotal, but then someone takes it the wrong way. But then you get people who are qualified nutritionists who suddenly go off key and start posting really weird diets. But the thing is, with posting about diets, it's so subjective. So it doesn't matter what the facts are. There's this guy that I won't name just because he's probably trying to tear me down, but he talks about stuff which is true, like to lose weight you need to do X, Y, Z, and what he's saying is facts. He's got no nuance, no understanding of the fact that everything's so subjective that it's really fucking unhelpful. And what we've been trying to do for years, like in the industry that I do work in, is like strip it back and make people realise they can eat intuitively and to enjoy food, and like there's no morals on foods, and he's just undoing everything.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that love that narrative because he's like sweary and it's black and white and it's obvious. But it's weird how polarizing it is. But also, you're right, it's so political. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know, every woman especially I've ever met, has got some weird relationship with food.
Yeah. Since, through the podcast, through a load of therapy, through some really interesting training and stuff, weight training and things like that, I've kind of found, but mainly sort of discovering intuitive eating and really taking about a year to be like, oh no, I mean, it's the way forward, like, and the way backwards. Like, you know, it's what we've come from and what we should go back to. And also it just means you free up so much of your life if you just go with what it is you want and don't actually, and stop when you're full, but also you don't have to, you know, whatever. Like, if you just stop caring a bit, if you're lucky enough to have access to healthy foods and like them.
But the other thing is, I think it's the thinking about it that's the problem. Realistically, if you weren't taught that food is so scary, none of us would have problems with it. Yeah. It's only because it's drilled into us from such a young age. My mum will always say, I think I said something at Christmas, really not mean anything, just like, oh, I feel like I've put on a bit of weight, my jeans are a bit small. But I wasn't worried, it was just a comment. It wasn't like a bad or good. And she went, oh, just stop eating bread. And I was like, first of all, I don't care that I put them. It doesn't matter. I'm just eating them. It's Christmas. I'm moving less. It's cold. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But she was so stressed and she went, oh, just stop. No, it's the bread. And I'm like, it's not the bread. Bread is fine. You can eat bread. But, and then you get into the conversations about, like, I'm trying to explain calories to her because there's certain things you have to break down and build it back up, which is what I did. So I think everyone needs to be taught about nutrition. We need to break it back down into numbers, but then you can get stuck there.
And that's, you never really get taught sort of, it at school.
No, you don't.
A bit more in depth about it at school.
But then I get worried, what about, because I think, like, if I'd grown up in the My Fitness Pal era, which I don't use now, but did before, if that had existed at school, Mogan's slaughter probably would have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really awful thing
to say. No, it is.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, but it's a joke. I've spoken about it on this podcast at school. Me and my friendship group, I'm still friends with them, some of my dearest women. We still joke about it all the time. We would regularly say, oh, I wish I could be anorexic.
Same.
I would love to be anorexic.
Same.
We didn't glamorise bulimia as much. It just didn't have that. There was something about, like, it just seemed to, I don't know, it was easy to glamorise as a teenager. And I know adults who still do.
I would be like, I wish I had the willpower to be anorexic, but I just can't do it.
Exactly, it was about willpower.
The bulimia, because I could eat.
The willpower, the self-control to starve yourself to death.
But it's funny because I then have friends who are, I remember at school, the ones that I thought had weird relationship foods were actually the ones that just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, how, well, why do you not care? Or they'd stop eating. That used to weird me out because I'd never stop.
I know. It's boggling, isn't it?
It is funny.
We got straight into it.
Yeah,
sorry. Straight into the juicy stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, I think since kind of, having a kind of revelation about how much happier you can be if you just eat intuitively, within reason, but or also, just care a bit less, do you know what I mean? And just not stress about it, not really give a fuck, whatever. And take your time getting there, and have times where you can't do it, and have times when you can. Then I found now that my tolerance of those bits of conversation, like you were saying you have with your mum, has gone way down. And I don't know whether it's an oversensitivity, because I don't want to be, and I hate the word, so I'm not going to say it, but I don't want to be upset by it. I don't know if I'm triggered.
Apparently you can't, because it's, I got told off using triggered in the wrong, oh, maybe in that context, but it's triggering people who actually need trigger warnings.
Yes, exactly, right. So someone who might have suffered some kind of abuse, etc.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think if you've had any disordered eating, then a conversation or something you see could perhaps. But I don't like the word anyway, because I think it just gets thrown around.
But I think it's like with feminism, though, once you're woke to something, you can't unsee it.
Yes, exactly.
And so things irritate me that shouldn't irritate me, like a man holding open the door when you know they're doing it because they're being a bit gross.
You've put
like,
it in the perfect way. Once you're woke to something, or just once you're educated about something,
then you just can't unsee it. That's what happens, because I feel like that. And you want to correct everyone, but actually, some battles are worth just leaving. It's sometimes better not to have the argument.
I know, but then where do I draw the line in terms of self-protection? Because I feel like at Christmas, my uncle's girlfriend came over, and they're so lovely, and they're very eccentric and really good fun. But she was on a diet when she first came over. Surprise, surprise, she's absolutely tiny.
Right,
super fit, you know, massive, like, horse rider, like, rears animals. She's super outdoors fit, super fit, etc. But she was on this kind of very strict meat and raw green stuff only diet. Each their own, whatever. But everyone was a bit like, dude, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
But what was... I'm fine with that, but... It was all she wanted to wang on about. It was like her news. And so you have one evening where it gets talked about quite a lot. And then you go into the next day, and in the afternoon some people come over and she sits down with someone who she's just met and starts telling them about it. And definitely from a place of, you should be doing this too. And it's like, oh, I can't bear it. I just have to start leaving the room. You're like, I get to see this person once a year if I'm lucky. But I can't listen to that shit anymore. Not without getting angry.
Yeah.
So probably the safest thing to protect myself and the social situation is to fuck off out of it.
But the other problem is, it's draining, but also there are so many people out there who still think that to be skinny is the only way to be. It is weird, though, because I've noticed that when I follow more body positive accounts, I started to try to change my Instagram, so I was following more people that were talking, not necessarily body positive, but just more body neutral, or just not about losing weight. And it's amazing how quickly... you suddenly forget that that even exists. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't spend time really with people who are like that, because everyone in my side of the industry is very much like anti-diet culture.
Well, me neither. Comedians, weirdly, as a rule, are pretty woke on
that. Yeah, yeah. But then you suddenly spend time with like a few other girlfriends, and really quite quickly, you suddenly start to think, God, being skinny is really
valuable.
Yeah,
we're in a bubble. We're in a really, really liberal elite. Like, elite's a horrible word. A media bubble.
Yeah.
We're all
And you think everyone thinks that, and they don't.
Hello! I'm interrupting myself quickly just to say an extra special thank you to those of you who are my patrons. That's the people who swap money for rewards like discount tickets and stuff like that. I'm going to update those rewards quite soon. I think $20 bracket needs a bit of a revamp. All that stuff's going to happen over the next month, but I put like video updates and stuff like that on there that I won't put anywhere else, so there's lots of exclusive content. If you've got any spare money, I'd love you to consider it. Go to patreon.com hoovering.co.uk/thehooveringpod. But I'm doing this message especially to say, I just want to say a special thanks to those of you already on there. Because of your financial help, a practical thing that I've actually done finally is buy myself some snazzy new microphones. So you are hopefully going to have a better sound quality of podcast from now on, every listener is. And that is entirely thank you to you, my patrons. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
What do you think about the whole Jamila Jamil thing?
Fascinated by it all. I would love to talk to her. I think it's amazing what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I could easily leave it there. However, I can absolutely see the point of view of fat people who are furious that their movement's been commandeered by someone who is... I mean, ultimately, I think you just see it as part of two separate movements.
I agree.
I don't think she's purporting to be a fat activist or fat liberation warrior. I don't think she is. I think she's saying, for people who work in acting and modelling, there's a ton of lies, and also we should stop being sold stuff that makes you shit yourself.
Yes.
And I think if that's her end game, and she can reach out to people so far and wide...
Yeah.
And be quite inspirational. I think what she's doing is amazing. However, I have seen some very funny stand-up from people like Jade Adams, etc., who are like, kind of saying like, oh, fuck off. How can you speak for people like about body positivity when you've got the perfect body?
Well, I just think,
hey, it's fine to have my perfect body because it was effortless, which is a fair point.
But it's true, because I think what it is, it's the problem of the body positivity part of it. It's because that does mean... I remember when it first came out, me and my girlfriends, who at the time I was tiny as well, we all started saying it.
Yeah.
And then I realised what it was and I was like, oh shit, that's not for me to take. Yeah. You might be able to feel body positive, but that is now coined as a term which belongs to a certain group of people.
Yeah.
So you just can't... But so that's where my issue lies. And... that's why I think you've got to be careful, because she can talk all the things she's talking about, but you can't just take that space. And I've got a friend who's a woman of colour, and she was like, I get why what she's doing, but I'd rather her talk about race.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. That's a space that she could really occupy and do some difference.
But it's strange that someone who's physically, you know, the Hollywood ideal is taking up the mantle as an ally for people who are... not getting work because they're not her size.
And it's a bit like someone who's really, really beautiful being like, you don't have to wear makeup, though. I don't wear makeup. And, like, no one else has to wear it. And I'd never wear foundation because I'm... And it's like, you don't have really bad acne that you want to mean to you about. And that's... it's just... I think it's ever so slightly... No, because I do think what she's doing is really good. And it's like... It's like that thing
It's coming from a good place. Yeah, you know, but she's definitely not a baddie.
No.
It's just whether she's thought through... who she's speaking for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But then that's the other conversation. It's so nuanced because... For instance, I might want to talk about having a bad body image day.
Mm-hmm.
That could be so damaging to so many people. But then there'll be women who are like models who would look at me and think, you look like absolute shit. You know what I mean? There's so many levels, you don't know who's reading it. So some days I'll do a post where I'll be like, I feel so good about myself. And like, and I do wonder if someone who's like unbelievably good looking looks and goes, fucking cocky.
Only a woman could think like that. They'd be like, oh, I've appeared a bit confident and now I'm shitting myself.
I know, isn't that so bad?
It's ridiculous. I think it's very interesting when you've come, like both of us have, into industries that require being looked at.
Yeah.
But that's a kind of byproduct. It's not, you know, you don't, if you're into fitness or you're into comedy... And then you have a social media profile because of that. People think, well, then they want to be looked at. And through a lens, fuck off, I don't.
This is why I'm doing podcasts. I literally said to him, I was like, I can't wait until I just have to, I want you to hear me, but I can't be, I have to post a picture of myself every day. Do you know how fucking training that is when you don't want to take pictures?
I couldn't do it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it is, my mum and sister were like, this is a joke. I was like, I need a bikini brand sent me a bikini. I was like, can you take a picture of me in this bikini? And I was like, oh, no, it's not quite right. And they were like, what is wrong with it? I was like, it just needs to be ever so slight. I don't care. If it was like, I've got another personal account that has like 300 followers, just my friends, I would post any picture you take of me on there.
Yeah.
But when it's work, it's a complete, it makes you desensitized to your body and so critical, but not in a way that affects me day to day, but the way that I then analyse is weird how it detracts. I can't really explain it. And my mum and sister were like, that's just so weird. But I was like, but it's part of the job because you almost sell your body in a way, like you decommodify your relationship with yourself. I can't really explain it.
You're explaining it really perfectly. I just think it's a very, 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 very complicated area. I'm trying to write some stand-up about it at the moment that is on the right side of history, whilst at the same time admitting how much I hate having to look at myself in photographs and videos when I'm being myself. I happily watch myself act in things. I don't care. I'll play grotesque. I'm not prideful. It's not a vanity thing. I cannot bear. I don't want to have. I just feel like it's a very human reaction, and it's quite. There's something quite unhuman about the rise of social media and the selfie and all of that. In our kind of, and also I think maybe feminism's asking a little step too far from me. It's fine to ask me to want to be able to look in the mirror and think that will fucking do.
Yes.
And I will go about my day. I feel sexy some days. I feel not some days. I give a shit. Like, I don't, I really genuinely have never cared much about my appearance. And I find it annoying that the better I do in my career, the more I kind of, this pressure on me is to. Also, that's why I do a podcast. I mean, have you got any makeup on, mate?
Yeah, amazing.
I'm clean. I've had a shower. Anyway, I think that's right and that's empowering, and we should be able to be confident enough on ourselves that we can clock ourselves and go, yep, that'll do, or fit, even, whatever. Anything from that will do up. Ask me to look at photos of myself. Ask me to look at someone else's perception of myself captured in a moment of time. Kiss my dick.
Yeah.
You're asking too much. I don't know how you do that every
because
day.
You're correct. Because when you see yourself in a mirror, you stand in a way that you've always stood, and you always position yourself. And you're right. When someone captures you, have you ever gone, is that what I look like? And they say yes, and you're like, what?
Pardon?
My sister took a picture of me, and I was like, this is awful. She's like, that's what you look like. I was like, do I look like that? She said, yeah. And I thought, fuck, I didn't know. I had no idea. Because you do carry yourself in a way that's really personal to you. And the other thing I think that's too far is the whole self-love, body positive, like the loving your body thing, I think is actually just a bit bullshit. Like, just like your body. Accept it for doing shit.
Be grateful to it.
What really kills me is the people that are like, I love my scars, I love it. It's like, fine, you can love it, but you're just drawing more attention to it. I love my cellulite. Although I do a video like, or a picture saying, I wasn't going to post this photo because I've got rolls and my fingernails are too long and my eyelashes are wonky, but I've done it. And it's like, but you haven't, because you pointed out all the problems. If you really didn't care, you would have just put the picture up and not signed to go, I know it's, because I used to do this when I was younger. I used to tell everyone, almost before I started talking, that I knew I was fat. Because I was like, if I say it, you can't say it. And I know, because the worst thing would be you thinking that I didn't know. But I wasn't even fat either. But you know, that kind of weird, and social media does it all the time, the like Instagram versus reality. And it's like, well, they're both reality. Because if you can look like that, you do look like that.
Yeah.
You're not as pretty as your best picture, and you're not as ugly as your shittest picture.
No, it's not reality.
But either way, the conversation is always about women's bodies, even when we're talking about being body positive, or we're talking about, you know, change the way we look at food. It always just comes down to that, that we're still fucking talking about the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And men are out there doing really cool stuff, and we're wasting time just talking about women's bodies, no matter what you do.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tell me about the time you ate something out of awkwardness or embarrassment.
Oh. You know, I don't think that would ever happen with me.
Oh, really? Are you quite good at going, my friend, I don't like that?
No, I just eat it.
Oh, because you like it.
Yes! I just never ever... I don't think there's anything I've ever eaten and thought, that's awful.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Just got to get through it.
I would just eat... I just wouldn't even think about the fact that... I think my brain has just never gone, you might not like this. I just eat it, and then after I've eaten it, I think, oh... That wasn't amazing. But it doesn't happen before I eat it. It's like an after evaluation.
It's so true as well, that thing of like, no. I can't remember if we said it on the podcast or earlier, but that when you're eating something and you're like, and you finish it all, and then you're like,
I'm so sure.
That was really, really average. Really sort of soggy or whatever, and they'll be like, but you've eaten it all up, and you're like, well, yeah. I was really hungry.
Yeah.
But also, I think that's part of like seeing food as fuel, ultimately. Mm. You're like, I'm not going to leave this. It's not so bad that I'd rather be hungry. Something would have to be so disgusting.
Yeah.
That I'd rather be hungry.
And also, I think I've got a bit of it kind of like a rebellion towards the time when I thought I couldn't eat stuff.
Yeah.
Very deep down, mm-hmm. some of it is me going, no, eat it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I have such a good relationship with you, but I was wondering why I do that. And it's not binging, because I did binge as well, but it's mm-hmm. not binge eating, but it's just an awareness that you can eat something. Because the more you get used to, the best thing I ever did was taking away the moral value of food.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have peanut butter in the house without eating the whole jar. I didn't know how I either had it or couldn't have it in the house. So learning that you can have a piece of toast peanut butter, and then you might end up having four more pieces of toast peanut butter, and no one's going to die.
Absolutely fine, yeah.
It took years of doing this, slowly reintroducing things into the house. And then now...
God, I did it today. I had peanut butter in my porridge this morning. Lush.
Yeah,
thanks very much. And then I had a smoothie, and I was like, oh, that's too... That's too... And I was like, fucking put it in!
Yeah, exactly.
Stick it in!
And then once you have it, then you don't binge, and that's the best bit. So I think if you ever restrict yourself in a normal environment, that's when you go and do your little secret binge. When you turn down dessert at dinner, I'd be like, I'm just going to have the chicken Caesar salad everywhere. This is at 16, it's so sad. We'd be an ask, and I'd have the chicken Caesar salad. Who am I? It's awful.
Who am I?
And then you'd be so hungry, I'd go end up eating like a whole tub of clotted cream ice cream in the freezer. I hope my mum wasn't going to come downstairs, because you restrict and you binge, and it's like an elastic band. You pull it back and eventually it'll snap.
Yeah.
So if you learn to try and eat when it's appropriate to be eating...
Yeah.
And not saying no, then you'll be fine when it comes to
the
weird secret eating.
Although I think I'm far... I'm very much in recovery, in the sense that I just don't care, but I don't think I ever did about binging. But I'll have times where I'm like, oh, I've got an overwhelming desire. I'll eat something that was really nice, and then I'll be like, I've got an overwhelming desire to eat exactly the same thing again, even though I do know I'm full. But I will ask myself the question of, why do you want that then? And I'll be like, well, it's because you're stressed about where you're going, where you've been from, or this isn't playing on your mind, or that. And I'll work it all out. And sometimes I'll still go, I'm going to have another one.
I do eat in excess, but I haven't properly binge eaten. Is that binge it? For ages. But I used to, me and my girlfriends, we would not eat that much in the week, go on a night out. I swear the night out was just so we'd be hungover the next day so we could eat. Get a Domino's at like 10 a.m. And then go to the shop and buy a pack of this. Go back to the shop. It was like a food challenge.
Yeah.
And I used to do that all the time. And I used to look forward to it. And now, the idea of that, I would eat a pizza, but I probably wouldn't then eat a tub of Ben and Jerry's. And that idea, I'm not interested in it. And it's nothing to do with the food. It must be something to do with the... I don't know what I was trying to do.
Just listening to yourself. Because really actually that will make you feel like shit eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in my tum. Let's ask you some silly ones. Second rule.
Oh yeah, always. Okay. Any rule, anything.
What was the best thing you ate in Australia when you were there? Because they're supposed to have great stuff food wise.
We did have really good food. Oh, do you know what? It was the last night, and we were trying to go to an Indian restaurant, but there was no booze. So obviously we all upped and left. We'd sat down. The woman was like, "You can't have alcohol." And where we were sitting, everyone was like BYOB. So we're walking and we see we've got the two kids with us. It's me and my two sisters and my mum.
How old are the kids?
At 5 and 3.
Right.
And it was the last night, and me and Emmy, the worst aunties ever, so we bought them ice cream and chocolate, and they were losing their minds.
Oh, no.
And my sister didn't want to bring them out for dinner, but we were like, please, we might not see them again.
Oh.
So we went, and then this guy walked down the road and was like, oh, there's an amazing Turkish restaurant. It doesn't look like much, but trust me, it's the best thing ever. And it was unbelievable.
Ooh.
The chicken was so... I don't know what... It was almost like thigh meat, but in, like, chicken breast-sized chunks.
Whoa!
It was amazing. And, like, all the breads and sauces. And it was just so delicious, because it was just a bit of a rundown... It was like a kebab shop that had seats out the back. But the food was unbelievable. And because it was so unexpected... Because we had a few posh dinners out there as well, which were nice, but you know they're going to be nice if you're paying for it.
Oh,
this,
it's so much better when it's a bit of a surprise. Oh my God, it
was
amazing.
And there was so much of it as well. And no one finished their food, so I obviously then was eating everyone. But it's the bread and the dip. And I like I love small plates because I like trying lots of different things. I could never have just like a big bowl of carbonara would really bore me.
Oh yeah.
But like loads of flavour I really enjoy.
I said oh yeah, but I would love a big bowl. Oh, would you?
I think
well.
I would eat it, but I'd get bored.
Right.
Because it's quite samey.
So interesting. It depends entirely on my mood.
Oh really?
Oh god, yeah, I love that. I really love Turkish food. I met someone. I just met someone for a meeting in a place recently, and I had to have the breakfast. They had this like eggs with yogurt. Thing.
Turkish eggs is one of my most favourite. They do a really good place near where I live in a place with Turkish eggs, and it's like
that
mint
meal
yogurt.
Alone is enough for me to be like 100% veganism ain't for me.
Oh, I know. I wasn't very vegan at all out there.
No.
No.
Well, we've had a vegan lunch today. So.
Oh, yeah. They do actually have a really big vegan scene, but my mum and sister are those people that are like, I'm not sure about vegan food because they don't. My cousin's vegan. This is the best. And he invited his mum around for a roast dinner. And she said, she was like, oh, I'll just bring my own roast then.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, no, you'll just have the same as us, but just without the meat. And she was like, I don't think I want vegan vegetables. Because she obviously thought it was some like religious ceremony or something that you did to the food.
And there's a comedian called Carl Donnelly whose parents did exactly that at Christmas.
Really?
They refused to come at Christmas. And then when he persuaded them, because he said how upset he was by that, they brought their own ready meals, microwave ready meals, and then they wouldn't even put his vegetables with them because of exactly that. They were like, I don't want your vegan vegetables.
That is really funny. But then it's also the other thing that's killing me is everyone thinks veganness just means automatically healthy.
No, you have to be so careful to supplement all the right stuff. Yeah. You have to be really... I mean, you're the one, actually, because you've got more nutritional nous than me. I think you
love the word
You have to go out of your way in terms of calcium and B12 and stuff.
B12 is the one that you literally can't get from vegan diet. But it's more that people will go to... like buy vegan chocolate cake because they assume because it's vegan that it's really low in calorie.
What? Sugar's vegan, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, but it's like nothing wrong with it not being low calorie, but it's really funny these people that like, especially on Instagram, is so much bullshit. And they're just like, it's so healthy because it's vegan. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's just slightly nicer for the planet.
Exactly.
But even then, it depends entirely on the processes involved.
I know.
I've said it before and I'll say it again on here. Like, I think that my kind of... I'm probably going to eat meat like 5-ish times a year.
I really enjoyed your degradation of veganism throughout.
It has, it's really gone to shit.
But you're right, you can't say, because there was a time when I actually was pretty much eating all vegan.
Yeah.
And even then, you
Well, the minute you
drop
the word once, even from the very beginning, I did say ish. and I will, like, it would be really extreme that I'd eat actual meat, but I do want to be able to sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm doing something with a chef next weekend, and she's like, the people organising it are like, oh, she's the queen of meat, by the way. And I was like, I've been thinking about saying to her, I'll try some then.
Oh my God, I think you should.
I think having meat like 5, 2, 5, maybe even 10 times a year is, especially if you're super careful about where it's come from and it's snazzy meat, I don't have to put it any other way than that. I mean, of course, it still caused some harm. But if people are having meat 10 times a year, that's not what's fucking the planet. But some vegans I know have got an avocado a day habit. Yeah. That is fucking the planet.
But also, like, you've got to weigh it up. No one's counting how many planes people are getting on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really irritating because also I'm a massive foodie. And that was actually, this is probably when it stopped. I was being really good, kind of flexitarian, but more verging on plant-based eating because it wasn't vegan lifestyle. It wasn't. I hadn't thrown away all my leather.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference,
isn't it? Oh, God.
It was just the food bit.
Well, who's throwing it away?
Oh, apparently you give it away because it's traumatised. I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
I went to Seville with my boyfriend.
This, like, level of religiosity in it, I find laughable.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much. That's the thing.
I will get some shit.
It's too... It's not... If you can do it, if you've got the time... And to be honest, I do feel bad because I am in a privileged enough position that I could probably afford to do it.
Yeah.
But mentally, I'm just not there yet. And I don't know if I will be, but we went to Seville. I went with my boyfriend, and I'm such a foodie that I love food, really good food. And the food out there is amazing. You can't be vegan in Seville.
No.
And to me, even if I was a full-time vegan in England, I would leave it like a border. So if you fly out of the country, you can, because I want to try the food.
But that was one of my first things in it when I was like, I'll try being vegan. And I ended up being way more vegan than I ever planned to be. But one of the things on my list was like, I'd be like, if my mum cooks something, it's got dairy in, or I'll have it. If, you know, if someone's cooked for me, but one of the main ones was I don't want, because my friend Maya put it to me just really nicely. You don't go to, she was like, but what about traveling all around the world? And is there something that they do amazingly?
Yeah, and you don't get
not even
it.
From the point of view of it's that on, you know, you're not vegan or you don't eat, which is never, I'm never going to be able to choose don't eat. But even if it's just like, but you know, that shakshuka is like going to be the best shakshuka you ever had, yeah. But it has got the treat though. If I'm there in the place, I want to try it. Yeah.
And I think what you were saying, like the all or nothing thing puts people off because frankly, you go from being like, well, I'm going to get slated if I'm not eating perfect. So then people don't do it. It's actually so much better if everyone just cuts down. And I have cut down loads. And also, you start buying the milks and very quickly you actually do adapt.
Yeah. I haven't drunk cow's milk for a long time. But also, again, if you're going 100% down that road and treating it like a religion, veganism, again, from someone with a history of disordered eating, you're attaching moral value to foods or not again. And even if it's a completely different moral in your head, you're like, no, this is ethics. This isn't, you know, it's not about shame. It is.
But it gives you the license as well when you're out and stuff to be like, oh, I don't want any cheese and I don't want this. And you can, and no one can then go to you, are you under eating? Because you can just be like, oh, I'm vegan. I've seen it with a lot of my friends where they will. You categorically be so smart about, and it looks like it's veganism, but actually it's starving yourself. It's just another way of cutting foods out. And I've did it before. I remember when everyone was gluten intolerant, remember? From about 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I was gluten intolerant and lactose intolerant, self-diagnosed. And then I was like, I get really bad bloating when I eat a pizza. Yeah, it's because you've eaten a large Domino's pizza in 20 minutes. So obviously you're going to get a bit of gastro whatever.
Self-diagnosed.
So then, but then I cut it out. And then obviously 2 years later, I actually did. Couldn't have it.
Right.
And that's what people do. And then you get, and then I had to reintroduce bread really slowly. And then my mum joined in. She was like, oh, I'm gluten-free too. So she'd be buying me all this gluten-free rice cakes. They don't have gluten in them anyway.
They just,
say everything, anything that's like gluten-free, she'd buy. And it's like, that's never happened. I feel
so sorry for actual celiacs now, because everyone just thinks they're a wanker.
Oh, yeah, it's all bullshit. But the thing with the milk thing is funny, though, because I haven't since then really drunk cow's milk. But it does actually, to be fair, dairy actually does if I have too much.
Yeah.
And I will refuse cow's milk, but I will go and eat gelato or ice cream because it's worth it for the upset stomach.
I agree.
I want it then. But so my people get annoyed at me, and I'm like, but that milk isn't worth it. I don't want to have like be farting everywhere for like a really shitty coffee. But
when
for gelato,
you could put some oat milk in, it might be just as nice.
Exactly, if not nicer. Whereas a gelato, like, that is worth my time.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
Hello!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Really likes an oat milk.
You know, she's got a very advanced palate.
This morning I am such a wanker. I put a couple of sunflower seeds on his porridge, which he normally just has like with jam and like a few blueberries. But and then he found like one of the four sunflower seeds, picked it out, and like held it up to my face with his finger and went, "I don't like this green bit." Okay, mate.
I don't have to eat eating it. Them. I'm really liking them when I was little. Like,
he doesn't. If he knows you snuck it, he will eat crispy kale.
Oh yeah, that's.
But
good
he
thing.
Won't eat like. A spring on a green bit within something else.
Doesn't like it. It feels like it's sneaky.
Yeah. And he'll say things like, "Tell me about this. Is it spicy or is it nice?"
That's good then. Yeah. If that's you've got a lot of food that you can say is nice.
He eats lots of stuff. He eats spicy stuff, the idiot. He loves a spicy crisp.
Oh, I love that. He sounds so much fun.
He's so naughty.
But I'm worried that I'm going to be a weirdo mum because I'll want to give my kid like healthy packed lunches and also don't want to give them an eating disorder.
Yeah,
so you can only imagine what this child's going to go to school with. It'll be like really nice food and then a whole cake because I don't want you to feel like you have to restrict yourself. Enjoy the food, but have a pistachio nut and a whole cucumber and a cake. And I don't know. Do you know what? I actually get stressed. I think about it. I'm nowhere near having kids. I get worried. I think I'm not having them.
Don't do it.
That and sex, because I really want to talk to my children about sex, but
oh,
I don't want.
Oh, God. I don't have to do that for ages.
No, but like, if I have a girl, I really want to explain to her for her, and then I just feel like I remember Sarah Pascoe saying once she's worried that she'll talk to them about it so much that they'll go to have sex and they'll just see her. I think that's what I'll do. This is all I think about at the minute. I'm like, just not having them. I can't.
It's so stressful.
Really overwhelming.
But you know what? I swear to God that feeding your child is just the same as feeding yourself in the sense that with the step removed emotionally, because ultimately, you know, by the time they are choosing what it is they want to eat to some extent, top tip number one, don't give them that much choice. But they're somewhere else, so it's a lot of projection. With having a son similarly on the not eating stuff, I'm like, I'm desperate for you to be gentle, I'm desperate for you to be considerate, creative, you know, all the things we push on girls. Please, you know, I'm not worried if you're upset, show it, whatever, but he's still a fucking violent thug,
right?
So he's
so much you can do with your projection of this perfect genderless utopia. But when it comes to food, I feel like it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just about not beating yourself up, like, and not overthinking it in the same way you don't overthink your own food.
Yeah, so and I do let them watch you eat as well.
Totally. Eat together as much as you can. Cook for him as often as I can. Give him as many flavours to try from the off. From when you're boob feeding through to as soon as they're eating, give them all sorts of interesting things to try. They will like the stuff that you are blown away. Suckling a lemon
or a bit of chili.
He wants to try dangerous things like that, and then he'll like really react. If something was spicy, he'll go purple and be like,
and then she lick it again, because that's what mine is. So something really horrible, she's like, and then he eats it.
Because we're perverts, we're all perverts.
So funny.
But there's like a massive box up there of like lollies, sweets. I'll show you
it. I'm excited.
But like, I mean, there's some kind of, you know, just topped it up because I've topped it up, but there's just straight up chupa chups in there.
Oh yeah.
I've topped it up because every single morning he has something on the walk to nursery.
Oh.
And if it's something that leaves like chalky around his face, like this morning it was like this cocoa nip bar thing, I was like, get a tissue out and licking it, like, you can't go in there.
Oh, but that's good, because I wasn't allowed, my mum would never let us have sweets or anything, ever, in the house. But that was, I think that was because she was always, in my memory, always reading stuff about how she was an apple. There was always a magazine out with some kind of, so I think she was always on a diet, and probably didn't realise she was taking so much stuff about sugar for herself, it moved into us. When I went to uni, I bought Pick a Mix every single day. I would go to Tesco's and buy Pick a Mix because she wouldn't let me have it. And it made, even to this day, I'm a bit of a weirdo when it comes to sweets. If my last meal, oh no, that's one of the
I'll get
but
to
that's
it in
a different
minute.
One. Yeah. But like in life, I always, the first thing that comes to my head, if you think that you take away all the food, I would just want Pick a Mix.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that's because we weren't allowed it. I used to steal sweets from my friend Eloise's house. Her mum had a drawer, and this girl has such a good relationship with food. She always has. And she, because she was there was chocolate in the drawer, and she'd like look and be like, oh, have a bite of Galaxy, put it back. I'd literally be like, fuck. And take a bar and put it in my pocket and be like, oh my God. It does create weird.
Yeah.
And it starts from so young.
Yeah.
So it's
so
probably
young.
Great to give him stuff on the way to school. That's where
I think you've got the whole day to run that off. Oh, also, if you get
also,
a little sugar high, it's not on my watch.
It's good. It's when you're a fucking kid.
Yeah.
I wish that I... Well, that time I spent wasting dieting, I was like 15, I could have been eating something about like 20 liked. Crumbles.
Also, I think... Well, if it, and also, because he does... I don't... We still can't... And you do, you get to observe in this microcosm, in this kind of intense microcosm, the impact that certain foods have on you. So, like, I mean, if he gets a shit, we all fucking know about it, whatever, but also just mood. He still can't have more than a, like, chalky coin's worth of milk chocolate.
Really?
Not, you know,
and then
he
just
like
gets a really bad crash.
White chocolate doesn't know he goes, like, he's possessed.
Oh. No,
half an hour.
No, so
it's this,
her
it's
eyes
the chemistry.
Go,
it must be something about the caffeine, the fat and the sugar together.
Yeah.
Because he... It's funny, but it's also a meltdown. It's
no,
a really stressful
my
meltdown.
My sister sent videos and she's like, she looks like she's coming up.
Yeah, she does.
Eats chocolate in her eyes. It's really quick as well. She suddenly is like, and it's all, it's actually quite weird to watch.
Really,
it's really disturbing, yeah.
Rudy was nearly a year and a half old and he'd never walked. And I gave him chocolate to try for the first time. And I filmed it, obviously, and he was like, and then I just got him up out of the high chair and he just walked for a minute
it's just
and
like
a half.
Drugs, like early
yeah, it
drugs.
Was. It's like a new superpower. He didn't know what to do with. And the walking was amazing, but then it was just like...
Oh my god.
So I'm just sort of microdosing because I really want to build his chalky tolerance up.
Yeah, that is.
A wizard does a spell that turns trolls off the internet into real trolls. They thought they were helping, but actually, it's a nightmare. Everyone's getting their houses stomped in, and there's massive bridges going up everywhere for them to live under, and they just use their booming voices instead to shout out rape threats and stuff. Instead. Of using the internet, the wizard has agreed to put them back inside the internet, which it turns out was easier to ignore than we thought. But only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, do a quintathlon. I've made it up.
Wow.
It's five. You have to do five things. At altitude, with me on your back.
Oh my god, wait.
I had to make this intense because you're a fitness person.
That's five, isn't it?
Oh yes, I've called it a quintathlon because it's a new type. Because you had to do it as a 35-year-old lady on your back.
Oh yeah, fab.
At altitude. It sounds impossible, but you do it! Yay! You're a hero. So your reward... other than the adulation of everyone who's, you know, got their safety back and lives back, is a feast of your dreams. I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with, and where.
Okay. So I listen to all of your podcasts. So I've been thinking about this for some time.
Oh!
And it really stresses me out because the life of me, fucked.
Yeah.
But I thought about it and I decided I love small plates.
Great.
Because I think what it is, I'm too indecisive to pick one thing.
I do, I'm down with that.
So I think I would like lots of different small platey things. I need to think more specifically. I always, for some reason, whenever I do think of last meal as well, one thing that pops up, and I don't even like it that much, but I think I have to eat it, because my brain immediately just goes, chicken katsu curry for Wagamama, which is nice, but I wouldn't say it's my favourite meal, but my brain, that's just what comes into my head, so I must...
I love that.
Isn't that weird?
But also, it's so amazing that you're like, no, I want something more sophisticated than that. Like, I really wanted it to have a, you know...
Yeah, and I always think as well that I want...
I'm afraid I'm scum. Not hardly. It's still quite
weird, because I'm like, I do like that, but I didn't really like it that much. It's not what I've ever craved it, but whenever that question comes up, it's just chicken katsu curry. So I guess I'll have, like, a mini one of those. And then it's really hard... Just trying to think what else I love. My brain goes back. I always think you want a roast, but I think that's just because that's almost a bit of like patriotism coming out. I don't actually think I need a roast.
It comes with company. You never have a roast on your own. I think that's about being surrounded by people who you're either so loved by or so love, or you've just had, you know, you were out with last night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some camaraderie. And
it's really comforting as well. I definitely want red wine because I love red wine.
You got favourite red wine?
I wish I did, but I'm really not. I pretend I'm not well versed enough. My boyfriend actually does know quite a lot about wine.
Okay.
So I try and remember things that he said, like,
so you don't need to think about it.
Love a Barolo.
Oh, that is really nice. Mm. Yeah, that's swanky Italian.
Yeah, so I come up with stuff like that. I don't actually know, and then I'll try and slip it in at a restaurant when they're asking, and then they'll look at me and I'm thinking, fuck, it's not the right time. The wrong thing. But
I
have Malbec. If I'm in a pub or something, I just will go for a Malbec because it's generally can't really go wrong with that one. And then who would I be with? I'd probably quite like a big table of just like my boyfriend and all of our mates, like all my uni girlfriend, just loads of people, and just kind of endless food is what I'm imagining, like an actual banquet of just stuff everywhere.
Yes.
But I'm not being very specific about it, am I?
That's fine.
So just
I think you can have, if you what you want, if your feast of your dreams is just, you want to keep it as a vague concept, you'd be the first person who's done that. But actually, I'm so down with that because you can.
It's a bit of everything.
It depends on what you fancy, doesn't it? It's a really hard question.
Yeah, and do you remember when you used to go, I don't know if you did this for a birthday party when you were like 15, your parents would take you to like a Chinese restaurant and it'd be like Chinese buffet, and that was like the most amazing thing I'd ever eaten. That seaweed, actually, like, I love that.
Oh,
it's not
just
actually seaweed.
And sugar.
Yeah, amazing.
Deep fried.
That.
Yes.
And then for dessert, it would just be the whole table covered in all the types of pick and mix in the world.
Yes.
All of it just cut. I honestly have dreams about eating. I used to have dreams as if that my bed was like a Mars bar or a Jelly Baby, and I'd wake up like drooling on my pillow.
Oh God, I love it.
But yeah, just pick and mix. I could eat it any time of the day. My boyfriend and I will go, if we're going to cinema, we'll go and pre-buy our pick and mix, so because you don't buy it there, obviously, and then he has to hide it because otherwise I'll eat it before we go and then we have to go back and get more.
You know what, you've reminded me of something so embarrassing yesterday when I was in the supermarket with Rudy, and Tesco's, which perhaps isn't the cleverest move, have put like a shelf, it's obviously to make kids insist to their parents of pick and mix, right by the counters.
Yes.
But actually, you know, and I've only got one kid on my watch, you can't have them, like, you can't physically hold them to you the whole time. He just went and put his hands in the mini eggs.
Did he eat them?
And then, but he was like, Mum. And I was like, turn around. And he was just showing me a fistful. And the worst thing is, I was like, Rudy, no. And then immediately I thought, I should have just said yes.
Yeah.
And I should have put them in a bag because he's done that now. And I was like, I've said it now, so I've got to follow through. I was like, this magazine that we're getting is your treat, and I will put that back unless you stop doing that. Obviously, everybody's looking, and he's just like, oh. And they just put this massive, sweaty hand of mini eggs back
that.
In the thing, and I was like,
oh. But that was one of the reasons.
Everyone will have been doing.
But that's one of the reasons why my mum wouldn't let me have pick and mix as well, because she was like, get them from the back, because even now she's like,
God.
Someone spat on them. But that's
it's
my favourite thing.
It's children's sweaty, filthy hands, and they do not wash their hands enough.
No, you see the little bags that have been rolled up and scrunched and put back, because it's obviously the children that have filled them up, gone to their parents have just said no.
That would be about
and
nine
all
quid,
along
no
the bottom is just all these, like, I tried. That's
oh,
sweet.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
So funny. But that is, I honestly, I find it very difficult to walk past the pick and mix bit without thinking, oh, really like one. I actually do. I sometimes now, I just get like 5 or 6. Ooh. It's amazing. Before, I used to spend about, it would be like £15.
It's so expensive.
Really embarrassing. You feel so sick thing. And you just can't stop eating them. It's the white rice. It's the fact that you get chocolate and sweets is what's really lovely. And the jazzies.
Jazzies are the ones with hundreds and thousands on the white chocolate button.
Yeah, and they do them in dark chocolate now too.
I do
that. Yeah,
it's very posh. Okay. I wanted to check them out.
Delicious. Huge thanks to Anoni for taking the time to blather away with me. We recorded for ages, actually. That was quite the editing effort to get that down to one podcast. But it was so fun. We got on like a house on fire, as you could hear. She's huge on Instagram. If you're not already all over that, she's spelt phonetically on there. So it's U-H-N-O-N-E-E. Bearing in mind, of course, though, she is a fitness wizard. So there's body fitness type pictures on there sometimes in case that sort of does your nut in. That is my warning about that. Listen to her podcast, Adulting. She has some incredible guests. And as you just heard, she is totally open and charming and fascinating. Follow the podcast. We're on all the socials at The Hoovering Pod. Hoovering Instagram and Twitter have very much a life of their own, and Facebook actually. And you can follow me too if you want, at Jessica Fosterkey. If you want to email me or find out about all my gigs or the Hoovering live shows, come to my website, jessicafosterkey.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.